Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
For those of you who are at home now minding a small baby and you're completely wrecked, you will want to stay tuned for my next guest. Lisa Lott Hild, midwife with over 17 years experience of night nurse. I've been a night nurse. She provides night care services to shattered parents in those first few weeks after a new baby arrives. And she joins me now in studio just to tell us more. Good morning. How are you?
Hello, good morning, Jen.
Good morning. It's great to have you. So can you tell me about the work you do as a night nurse, first of all?
Yeah, so my work as a night nurse is very, very different. You know, yeah. It can be all kind of situations. So I usually arrive at a family's home around 10 o'clock and we just see how the day has been going and how things are. And it depends a lot on the situation, if the mother is breastfeeding or bottle feeding. And I would generally just find out what their needs are. Either the parents just want to go get some sleep or they're actually looking for answering a lot of their questions or showing them some things, concerns about the baby to go through. Or we just, if she's a breastfeeding mom, we make up a plan because it's never a good idea for a mom to sleep all night without breastfeeding or stressing if she's breastfeeding. So, yeah, so all kind of situations. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like fairy godmother arriving into the house and go, I will help you. And we all need that when we've had a baby. Absolutely. Can we talk about, you have an amazing service in Belgium where you're from. I believe for up to 6 weeks after a baby is born. What is that?
We have a service called Kraamzorg. So that's not exactly just night care. It's usually actually not night care, but parents in Belgium can apply for this Kraamzorg during their pregnancy. And it kind of involves, it can be up to 4 hours a day for a couple of weeks. And it all depends when they apply for it, social welfare kind of assistant, say, would come and assess the situation, find out about their financial situation, their social situation, how many kids they have to look after. If it's twins or triplet, they'll get more hours of care. So it's not necessarily, it's a combination of a midwife and what we call kraamverzorgster, which would be very similar to what we have here as a postnatal doula.
Yeah.
And what they do is they just help the mother. They arrive at the home. If mother needs to get a little break, they hold the baby, let the mother get some rest. They can go through caring of the baby, baby bath, because nowadays here the hospitals are so very busy. Mm. A mom may often have left the hospital before she's even had a chance to give a baby
properly.
A bath, you know.
Yeah. I think we used to do something similar years and years and years and years and years ago. I think the nuns did it, but it wasn't for 6 weeks. Mm. And mothers used to go to a place where they could get some respite.
Yeah.
And funny enough, go on dates with their husbands, so to speak. Or just going to look up that. She's looking at me like of 10 heads, but I'm pretty sure the nuns used to help out, but we don't really have a service like that, which is so needed. But just back to night nurse, because mm-hmm. this is something I would have loved, but what kind of people in Ireland are booking you to be a night nurse for their kids?
Yeah, well, originally when I started doing this, I was working for a nanny agency, so it would have been very of the more wealthier families who would have can afford it and had a bit of a culture of, being looked after by nannies and home help and all of it. But then since I kind of developed more of my own business, I also thought, look, it's just not, so many people could benefit from this. Like, I've looked after families with twins who only just had another child who's only just about not even 2 years old. And they're just calling me in because they basically really need to get some rest. Mm. So people realize it's not just always a long-term commitment. You can get me for a couple of nights in the early weeks rather than thinking, it's only for people who can afford to get a nanny to stay there for months, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the dream. Somebody comes in who's qualified, who takes over that that nighttime shift, and you can go get some sleep. But logistically, how does it work? So what time do you come in? When does your shift start? Do you have to have a bed? Is the baby in the room with you? How does it all work?
Yeah, well, I am so flexible. So it really depends on the situation. I always say to mothers, well, to families, like, look, I don't want to create extra work for you, so I don't need a bed. I said, if babies are young enough, they usually just sleep in the Moses basket. They stay down with me in the living room because I usually start around 10 o'clock in the night. So parents are kind of ready to go to bed, you know. So I stay in the living room with the baby, the Moses basket. If a mother is breastfeeding, we make up a plan. I can bring the baby up to her, help her with those feeds, bring the baby back down, get the baby settled. Or if she's pumping, she starts, you know, she pumps, I go and get the milk and bring it down and feed the baby. So then I normally stay till around 7 in the morning. So yeah, usually 10 till 7. Now, we can be flexible as well. Sometimes if people are only just home from hospital and they really want to have a bit of a chat and advice first, I might go in at 9 o'clock or even 8:30 so that they're still more awake, say, to have time for a chat before they take off for the night. And the mornings, I don't want to work later than 7 or so because I have my own kids to bring up to school. So summer holidays, I'm a bit more flexible. I might stay on longer. Okay. But that's usually the hours I do.
Wow. And do you mind me asking how much would something like that cost for an evening, for a night?
Yeah, it really depends, of course, as well, the travel costs involved and also anything from around €200 to €250. See, I do give a discount as well for people who've done my antenatal classes with me because I really encourage them to look into this bit of extra care when they get home. And
do you know what I'm thinking? I think this might be it sounds like a good gift for someone, doesn't it? I mean, if somebody gave me the gift of sleep in the early days, it would have been amazing, and I would have paid anything for that, you know, just unbroken sleep for a while, because if you have months and months and months of that, it can be exhausting, obviously. They don't provide a bed, you keep them downstairs. It all sounds very workable. Just with the breastfeeding, you said you can help with that as well?
Yeah, I'm a lactation consultant. Okay. So sometimes it happens as well that I may have met a mother for a lactation consultation. And then she finds out about my nights. And babies do feed a lot at night, especially in the early days. So sometimes it's very beneficial if they call me in for a night soon after the consultation. And then we work through all the things we've talked about. Or also moms who know in advance that they will be coming home from hospital. And they may know from their previous baby that the first few nights can be very tricky and they just want to have that little bit of extra help. They're not planning on a full night's sleep, but they know that I'll be there to help them if the latch could be a little bit sore or something, and just, you know, they might feel like they haven't had time to get through it all in the hospital. People were too busy, and then we have just a lot of time one-to-one to talk to everything. And
You are directly at the heart of the most life-changing time of someone's life. It's a happy time, of course, but it can be an incredibly emotional time, I can imagine. Have you ever said to a mother that they may have postnatal depression? Have you ever seen that or have to say that to someone?
Yeah, so I wouldn't really be in a position to say, like, diagnose a postnatal depression, but I definitely recognize red flags.
Okay.
You know, so I've done a bit of training as well in perinatal mental health and areas like that. So I would know how to, you know, what to look out for and how to approach it and refer to whenever needed. Yes.
So you can see those red flags. When sometimes another family member or partner is just oblivious to it.
Not always straight in the beginning, because it's very normal, of course, for a mom to be emotional and all of it. But definitely when you're with a family for longer, or if sometimes it's the dad who would say a few things to me when the mother's not around.
Of course.
And I'd pick it up from that, because I'm not there during the day, you know, so.
Totally.
Yeah.
Can we talk about visitors for a second? Because in those early days, everyone wants to come and see the new baby, but it's not always appropriate. Do you give advice on that, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yes. I always do think, I always say to the people, look, you know, whenever you have visitors, it's great to have visitors, great to have company, but make them useful. You know, you're not the entertainer. You shouldn't be there serving teas and coffees and, you know, as it, like, when they're there, this may be your chance to go have a shower. You know, they're there to see the baby, they're there to see you too. But it'd be lovely if people would think a little bit before they go and visit a newborn mom and baby. You know, give them a call. Does it still suit? Is she maybe just about to go and have a nap? You know, people should be much more considerate, you know, and don't just expect to be arriving and have a chat.
And the mother is on and the cake is out.
Exactly. The mother may be exhausted, so she might just, you know, I say also a good idea is, like, if you know you're going to get visitors, have a quick look in your fridge. Do you need anything? Because they'll be going past the shops. So they could bring in a bread and milk if you run out, you know. So it'd be brilliant if we could just ring up and say, look, you're coming over to see me. Would you mind just, you know,
That is genius. I never thought of that back when I had my smallies. Yeah. So if you're at home and your visitors come to see the new baby, make them useful.
Make them useful.
You are a big believer in the fourth trimester. You say it's very important. Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, so pregnancy is not just about giving birth. You know, it kind of goes on, of course. And I do think mothers, after they've had their baby, they're very quickly expected, or they feel they should be back up on their feet and doing all kinds of things, looking after the house and the other children. And I do think, like, they need to get some more rest, or not just rest. And it's not like they cannot do anything, but just to kind of take the pressure off and spend that, you know, a lot of time just holding the baby. It's not as if you're doing nothing. When you're holding a baby, sitting down as a new mom, holding your baby, looking at your baby, comforting that baby, you're doing an amazing job, because you're building that basic foundation for that newborn being to start off life, you know. So
I never thought
it's
of it
not like,
like
you're just sitting down doing nothing. And of course the bits all build up around you, and there are people who just cannot stand it that the house is upside down. And, you know, of course, like if you're the kind of person who cannot look at a messy house, then maybe get some money apart and get a cleaner, or if it's really relaxed you to actually do clean your house, then do clean your house.
No, we have to do everything ourselves. We have to keep making the dinner, cleaning the house, seeing our friends, being an amazing host, and look after a newborn baby. That's what we think, don't we?
No, too much.
It is far too much. That's why women suffer, really, and because they think they have to do everything.
Yeah.
Someone just texting, this woman sounds like just the person you'd want to help you when you're in a jocker with a new baby. Yes, it's a luxury, but an amazing gift for new parents who are overwhelmed. Somebody else texts in saying, some health insurance plans cover so many sessions of night nurse. Currently pregnant and I'm already looking into it. Check your policies, people. Can I ask you, you work shift work. How do you cope yourself with that kind of work, you know? That can't be easy on you sometimes.
No, it's that's why I gave up on the hospital job, because I'm now 3 years out of the hospital. I used to do this alongside my hospital job, and so I actually kind of maximum work 2 nights a week, because I still want to be available as well for my family and also for my daycare work, like my teaching the antenatal classes and the breastfeeding consultations. So I work about 2 nights a week, and there is more demand than that. So I have other midwives. The other midwives are actually all still working in hospital, either full-time or part-time. So I can rely on them as well. If for whatever reason I have to cancel a night, I can get someone else in.
Sounds like you have a good balance
and
in your
life
now.
I sleep during the day. I'm very good at daytime sleeping. When I get home after a night, I sleep till the kids get home from school. So I kind of go to sleep around 9 till 2.
Brilliant. Well, listen, there's a lot of text coming in. A lot of people want to know, where can they get more information from you? Do you have a website people can go to?
Yeah, I have a website. It's www.little-miracles.ie.
Little-miracles.ie. Go and check it out if you want to get more information. Thank you for all your text messages coming in, and thanks for popping into studio.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.